पञ्चमोऽध्यायः कर्मसन्न्यासयोगः अर्जुन उवाच सन्न्यासं कर्मणां कृष्ण पुनर्योगं च शंससि सन्न्यासं कर्मणां कृष्ण पुनर्योगं च शंससि यच्छ्रेययेतयोरेकम् तन्मे ब्रूहि सुनिश्चितम् यच्छ्रेययेतयोरेकम् तन्मे ब्रूहि सुनिश्चितम् So in the last class we said that even after the fourth chapter, unfortunately or fortunately for us perhaps, Arjuna's problem is not yet solved. And Arjuna's confusion continues. It's not clear, it continues actually. Now we have to find out what is the confusion Arjuna still has. In the third chapter, Arjuna, what did he say? I have confusion between jnanam and karma. Between jnanam and karma, you talked both of them. Krishna, you talked both. I don't know whether I have to go to an ashrama for getting knowledge or I should remain here in the battlefield or in the household to do karma yoga or karma. And Krishna very elaborately he answered in the third and the fourth chapters. And Arjuna is getting confusion between again two things. There he had the confusion between jnanam and karma. Now he is having confusion between what? Karma and sannyasa. That is the confusion he has. Karma and jnanam. Here karma and sannyasa. Earlier it was between karma and jnanam. And the answer to this question Krishna is going to clarify. The word sannyasa. What sannyasa, by the word sannyasa, what does he mean? Since sannyasa is topic going to be dealt with in this full chapter, this is called sannyasa yoga or karma sannyasa yoga. That is the name of this chapter. And what is the source of Arjuna's doubt? That we can analyze. The main problem of Arjuna is not confusion or anything right now. He is not listening properly. What Krishna teaches, Arjuna is not listening properly because he wants to really confirm what he wants to think. He is not really listening to Krishna. He already has some idea. He already thinks this is what he wants to do. And he wants only Krishna to confirm that. He is not really listening to Krishna to know something. Actually, many people, what they do, they read or listen only for the sake of confirmation of their own ideas. Is there any way by which there is some support to what I say? I have a friend. He will keep on asking me so many questions in so many ways, whether something should be done on that day or not. I would say already Shastra does not allow you to do this. He will keep on asking it 10 times, 10 different angles, 10 different times also, not the same time 10 times, 10 different times of the day. He will ask the same question because he has some inconvenience to do it on that day. So he wants me to give a certification to him, no problem, you can do on this day also. That's all he wants. But he will ask it 100 times. So people do this many times, essentially to confirm what their original idea is, what they think to be correct. They want somebody to bless it. So that's what Arjuna also is trying to do. Now the same thing. For example, if one sees sannyasa in Gita, one person sees yoga in Gita, another sees karma in Gita, one even sees nature cure in Gita, because all these yuktaharaharasya, all those slokas are there. So people talk about, so everybody looks at Gita in whatever topic they think they have more affinity to. That's what they all look at it. One pranayami will come. Oh, Gita talks about only pranayama. Apane, jukpati, prana, we just read that sloka in the fourth chapter. So he is going to say that Gita talks about only pranayama, that is most important for me. That's what everybody will. Each acharya wrote commentary on Gita in their own way. Because they thought this is what Gita should communicate. So Shankaracharya wrote, Madhvacharya wrote, Ramanujacharya wrote, everybody wrote based on what they think should be the philosophy. That's what they all thought. So this is called many times filtered listening. You listen to only what you want to hear. You don't want to hear all other things, right? So whatever is convenient and akin to me, I listen. Whatever is pricking, I simply throw them away. Here also, Arjuna wants to avoid karma. He doesn't want to fight. He wants to get out of the battlefield. So that is the basic thing that he has. So throughout Gita, what he wants is what? Somehow or the other, he wants to get out of this battlefield. He doesn't want to fight. And that is why when he had a doubt between karma and jnana, his problem was what? How to avoid karma and go in search of jnana. That's what he wanted to do earlier. And now his question is what? Avoid karma, how to avoid karma and how to go in search of sannyasa ashrama. That's what he is trying to ask. So in the second chapter, he got the word jnana. Sankhya, he got the word jnanam. So he held on to that. So in the third chapter when it came, he held on to that topic jnanam. So karma and jnanam difference, he wanted to do that. He wanted to forget karma. Now in the fourth chapter, Krishna has used the word sannyasa in the end. If you read the last shlokas in the fourth chapter, yoga sannyasta karmanam, that's what he said. Yoga sannyasta karmanam, jnana sanchinna samshayam, atma mantam na karmani, nibadhananti dhananjaya. That's what he said earlier. So sannyasta karmanam, that is the word he has used. So he is again holding on to the topic karma. And sannyasta karma, he is talking about the topic. So sannyasa, between sannyasa and karma, what you want me to choose? That is his question. He wants to ask the same question again in a different language. So Krishna is talking about renunciation of karma, and so sannyasa is important for him. That's what he is trying to ask. So he wants to ask Krishna, you are telling about sannyasta karmanam, the one who has renounced all karmas, all actions, and at the same time, you are also asking me to fight this war. You are trying to do that. Now tell me, should I become a sannyasi, giving up every karma, including this battle, or should I have to do karma and stay in this battle? So that is the question. So sannyasam and karma, that is the doubt, that is the confusion. And this is the question of Arjuna, which the fifth chapter is addressing. Arjuna uvacha sannyasam karmanam krishna
sannyasam karmanam krishna sannyasam karmanam krishna
punaryogam cha shamsasi
punaryogam cha shamsasi punaryogam cha shamsasi
yachreya yetayorekam
yachreya yetayorekam yachreya
tanme bruhi sunischitam
tanme bruhi sunischitam tanme bruhi sunischitam.
So he asked the question to Krishna. O Krishna, karmanam sanyasam shamsasi, you are talking about the renunciation of action, all karma, especially in the last chapter he said yoga sanyasta karma. Literally it means what? The one who has renounced all action. Sanyasta karmana means the one who has renounced all actions. Keeping that word in mind, Arjuna tells, O Krishna, you are talking about the renunciation of action. That's what you are trying to talk about. I thought it is very convenient to me to renounce action and get out. So when I feel like getting away and going, then what do you do suddenly? Punaha yogam cha shamsasi. You are also talking about the performance of action. When I am ready to get out from this action, you are now telling me punaha yogam cha shamsasi, performance of action you are talking about again. Here yogam means karma yoga. When you say yogam, punaha yogam cha shamsasi, yoga refers to karma yoga. So tasmad ajnana sambhutam hristam jnanasinatmanaha chitvainam samshayam yogam atishtha. That was what said in the fourth chapter. Yogam atishtha means what? Do karma. Yogam means karma yoga, do karma. So previous sloka said what? Yoga sanyasta karma. And therefore, in two nearby verses, close verses of the fourth chapter, the end of the fourth chapter, you are contradicting yourselves. Should I become a sanyasta karmi, or should I become a karma yogi? So a person who renounces action, or a person who holds on to action. Yogam cha shamsasi. Yoga means karma yoga, performance of action. Now again, I am confused. I am not able to decide which is right and which is wrong. So again, I am surrendering unto you. You only should tell me which is correct. Tat me sunischitam bruhi. Sunischitam bruhi. You only has to tell me clearly, firmly. So don't give me this and that. Don't give me a choice. Do ask me to do this only. If you give me a choice, I always have a problem. I don't want to choose. You have to tell me. So I refuse to think because I don't want to choose. If I have to choose, I have to think. I don't want to think right now. So you tell me. So that's what he is telling. Because only then he can put the responsibility on Krishna, on somebody else. We always want somebody else to tell us. You do this, we will do that. So passing the bug is the human philosophy right from that time. You know, we pass the bug on Krishna. How to put the blame on somebody else, you know. So tad me sunischitam bruhi. You may think and choose for me, but tell me clearly only one. This is the way you should go. If you tell me, I will follow that. Always two means conflict, right? When there are two things, always there is conflict. If you give only one choice, no problem at all. Two means there is no choice. So, what you should tell me? Yethu, ekayoho, ekam shreyaha. Which one of these two is better for me to choose? Sannyasa or karma? Between these two, which is better? Yethu, ekayoho, ekam shreyaha. Sannyasa or karma yoga, renunciation of action or performance of action. That is all the question Arjuna asked, and now Krishna has to answer in all these shlokas to clarify Arjuna's confusion. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sannyasam sannyasa karma yogascha.
Sannyasa karma yogascha. Sannyasa karma yoga.
Tayostu karma sanyasat. Karma yoga visishyate.
Karma yoga visishyate. Karma yoga visishyate.
Tayostu karma sanyasat. Karma yoga visishyate.
Tayostu karma sanyasat. Karma yoga visishyate. Tayostu karma sanyasat. Karma yoga visishyate.
So Krishna is talking again from the fundamentals. A for apple. That's what he starts again for Arjuna. This basic should be known. Otherwise, the whole Hinduism itself will be confusion. Unless people know the fundamentals, you know. All the problem is because of what? Arjuna does not understand the word sannyasa. When Krishna says sannyasa, Arjuna does not understand the meaning of the word sannyasa. That is creating confusion. Literally, sannyasa means what? Renunciation of action. That's what we normally mean by the word sannyasa, renunciation of all actions. And the shastras, normally, two types of sannyasas are enumerated. Two types of sannyasas. One is called vividisha sannyasa, which means physical renunciation. A person trying to get out for the sake of knowledge. He wants to get out from everything for the sake of knowledge. And the second one is called vidvat sannyasa. Vidvat sannyasa or jnana karma sannyasa, which we saw earlier. And this is the inner renunciation, not the external physical renunciation. It is born out of knowledge. So this is the two types of sannyasa. Now we have to understand the difference between these two. Vividisha sannyasa means it is physical renunciation. And by that, what are the things we mean? The person, the one who renounces his contact with the family and completely. No relationship, no family and all. He completely renounces all of them. He changes his dress to an akar robe. He has no more dress, common dress, not we wear. He changes to akar robe. He is known to have another ashrama. From a grahastha ashrama or a brahmachari ashrama, he has taken a new ashrama called the sannyasa ashrama, and he does not even earn food for his livelihood. He will not physically earn any food at all, and he has to live only on bhiksha. So these are all the tenets of a person who has physically renounced, a sannyasi who has physically renounced, or the person who is called vividisha sannyasa. So such a lifestyle is called vividisha sannyasa, physical renouncing. He should not stay home also, and he should not eat home at any time. He should just leave. Actually, this is a sannyasa popularly known to all of us. All of us by the name sannyasa, this is what we all understand. Right? Arjuna also understands the same thing. And what should we understand from this sannyasa? This is only a lifestyle. This is only a lifestyle, and this lifestyle does not guarantee moksha. We have to understand that very clearly. This is only a lifestyle. Like Grihastha Ashrama is a lifestyle. Brahmacharya Ashrama is a lifestyle. This is another lifestyle. This will not guarantee liberation at all. So this lifestyle is not compulsory according to Shastras. If you want to gain moksha, this is not a compulsory ashrama for somebody to take to go to moksha at all. Careful, we have to be careful. By this, what do we mean? One need not take it. But one can take it also if he wants. But one need not take it. It is not that it is prohibited. One can still definitely take it. But one need not take it to gain moksha. It is an optional course of life. That's all it means. And what is the other option? We can have Grihastha Ashrama. It can be an active lifestyle. We can be in the middle of activity. And in this lifestyle, this is quite opposite to that of Sannyasa Ashrama. Here, what are the things he does? He yearns for a living. He cannot keep quiet. He has to yearn for a living. He possesses things always. He has a house. He has a bank balance. He possesses all kinds of relationships. He has so many relations. And he does a lot of rituals also. So many rituals he does. Vaidika karmas he does. Nitya karmas, Naimittika karmas. All those things. Laukya karmas, Kamya karmas. Everything he does in these rituals. And he has responsibilities for family, for society. He has to support the brahmachari and the sannyasi also. He has those responsibilities also in addition to his regular course. So all these things he has to do. So we had all these things we already saw in the third chapter. So Vividha Sannyasa was called Nivritti Marga there. We use the word Nivritti Marga. And the one who is in the Grihastha Ashrama, we call that as Pravritti Marga. Pravritti Marga, an active lifestyle, and Nivritti Marga, a secluded lifestyle. These two, we already a passive lifestyle, we already saw them earlier. And between these two, we have to choose only one. Only one. Both cannot be practiced simultaneously. A person cannot practice both simultaneously. Grihastha Ashrama and Vividisha Sannyasi, both one cannot be. He has to be either in Grihastha Ashrama or he has to physically renounce and go. You cannot be doing both simultaneously. You have to choose only one between them. And so, if Krishna tells Arjuna to follow Vividisha Sannyasa, that is what? The physical renunciation. And also to follow karma as his swadharma, then Krishna will be contradicting. See, Krishna is not contradicting here. If Krishna is administering physical renunciation and also practice Grihastha Ashrama active lifestyle, then he will be contradicting, but Krishna is not doing that. So that is what Arjuna's confusion here. He does not understand what Krishna really means. Arjuna thinks that Krishna is talking about Vividisha Sannyasa or the physical renunciation. A regular sannyasi with akar robe, whom we see as sannyasi, that's what Krishna, Arjuna thinks Krishna is talking about. And he is thinking that Krishna is asking me to renounce all my duties. So yoga sannyasta karmana, that's what he says. And at the same time, he is also asking me to fight this war also. How is it possible? But the beauty is that what? When Krishna talks about sannyasa in the Gita, he does not mean Vividisha sannyasa at all anytime. He doesn't talk about physical renunciation at all, which means he does not mean physical renunciation is a must. Krishna never talks about. He does not tell anyone to cut off their relationship with family and the society. He never tells at all anytime. He does not tell anyone to become an akar-robed sannyasi. He never administers that at all. Then what does he mean? Whenever Krishna talks about sannyasa in the Gita, he talks about the other sannyasa. What is the other sannyasa? The vidvat sannyasa or jnana karma sannyasa. That's what he is talking about. He is not talking about the vidya sannyasa or the physical renunciation. And what is this jnana karma sannyasa or vidvat sannyasa? It is that knowledge that I am ever actionless, in spite of my physical and mental activity. That is the sannyasa Krishna is talking about. The knowledge that I am ever actionless in spite of being engaged in mental and physical activity all the time. Similarly, I am ever relationless in spite of my worldly life of husband, wife, father, son, guru, anything. Doesn't matter. I am ever relationless. I, the Atma, is neither wife, nor husband, nor father, nor child, nor even a guru. I, the Atma, does not have any of these relationships at all. So, in spite of all relationships around, he says, Aham Asangaha. Even though you have all these relationships around, I am Asangaha. I have no relationship at all. I am not connected to any of them. As we mentioned earlier, one of the names of Krishna is what? Nitya Brahmachari. We have seen one of the names for Krishna, Nitya Brahmachari. How is it possible when he has 16,000 and odd wives? Nitya Brahmachari. How is it possible? It is possible only in one way. I, the Atma, is ever sannyastaha. Is ever not. So Nitya Sannyasi, Krishna himself will tell that later. So Aham, Akarta, Asangaha. I am not the doer of anything, I the Atma. Shuddha Chaitanyam. I am not the doer of anything, I am ever Asangaha. So the beauty of this Vidvat Sannyasa is that what? This is in spite of a lifestyle. You can be in any lifestyle. You can be a Brahmachari Ashrama, you can be in Grahastha Ashrama, you can be Vanaprastha Ashrama, you can be a Sannyasa Ashrama also. The Sannyasa Ashrama is Akarrava Ashrama. But this Vidvat Sannyasa is irrespective of any of these things. This is only knowledge. This is inner renunciation is possible in both the lifestyles. And what are those lifestyles? In Vividisha Sannyasa, that is a physical renunciation, a person who is an Akarro, who is an Ashrama Sannyasi, we call him one as a Grahastha Sannyasi, another is an Ashrama Sannyasi, he also can be a Vidvat Sannyasi. A person who is in an Ashrama Sannyasa, he also can be in Vidvat Sannyasi by gaining the knowledge, Aham Akarta. So a person who is physically renounced, who has got Akar robes, that person also can be a Vidvat Sannyasi if he has the knowledge, Aham Akarta. I am ever actionless in spite of being in the environment of action. If he knows that, he can be also a Vidvat Sannyasi. Not only that, the Vidvat Sannyasa is possible in Grahastha Ashrama also. When I am a householder, I still can have this knowledge. How? By the knowledge that I am not a Grahastha. He can be in Grahastha Ashrama, but he should have the knowledge, I am not a Grahastha at all. So the glory of Vidvat Sannyasa is, it can be along with both. It can be along with Grahastha Ashrama, it can be along with Asannyasa Ashrama also. Then the question is, what is responsible for Vidvat Sannyasa? That is the next question. What is responsible for somebody to be called as a Vidvat Sannyasi? A sannyasi who is a sannyasi because of his inner renunciation, because of his knowledge. What makes me one makes person Vidvat Sannyasi? Should I be here or should I be there? All those questions might be answered. So neither active lifestyle nor passive lifestyle can make me a Vidvat Sannyasi. An active lifestyle of a Grahastha Ashrami or a passive lifestyle of a Sannyasa Ashrami. It is not going to make somebody a Vidvat Sannyasa. Then what makes me Vidvat Sannyasi? As the very word knows, tells, if I am Vidwan, if I am a Vidwan, it will make me a Vidvat Sannyasi. Not lifestyle, not wealth, not ashrama, nor even a guru. None of them will make me a Vidvat Sannyasi. So when I become a Vidwan, it makes me. And what makes me a Vidwan? Vidyavan eva Vidwan. A person who has Atma Vidya, he alone is Vidwan. So if you have Atma Vidya, then you become a Vidwan and you are a Vidvat Sannyasi, then you are liberated. That's what he says. So whoever has got knowledge, he is called a Vidvat Sannyasi. So even if there is a Vividisha Sannyasi, an Ashrama Sannyasi, a physical renouncer, but he never got the knowledge, he will never be called a Vidvat Sannyasi. He may have Akar robes, but he can never be called a Vidvat Sannyasi because he doesn't have inner renunciation, he doesn't have knowledge. Self-knowledge he doesn't have. He can be called a Vidvat Sannyasi only when he studies the scriptures and understands and assimilates the scriptures. Then only we can call him a Vidvat Sannyasi. On the other hand, you can imagine a Grahastha. He does not have to go to Rishikesh. He is in family life only all the time. He doesn't have to renounce and go somewhere. He can be in the family life, but he gradually develops this inner vairagya, this passion in himself. And he acquires sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, all that he acquires by doing his Grahastha Ashrama duties properly. Because he has the duties of a Grahastha Ashrami. So all those duties he does properly, and he comes to understand that all these relationships, the husband, wife, children, father, mother, anything, all those relationships are only relative, are only temporary, and they are all cause of prarabdha. All these relationships are caused by what? Prarabdha. So all these are caused by prarabdha. They are all temporary. None of them are permanent. Once he understands that, and by studying the scriptures, remaining in Grihastha Ashrama itself, he did not get out of the house. He is there in the house. So he reads the scriptures, and then, so even though he is not a Vidisha Sannyasi, physical renouncer, but a Grihastha Ashrami, the moment he gains this knowledge, this person becomes a Vidisha Sannyasi. So he doesn't have to go anywhere. He can be at home in the field of action. The moment he gets this knowledge, he also becomes a Vidvat Sannyasi. So anyone can become a Vidvat Sannyasi regardless of ashrama. Whatever may be the ashrama, he can become a Vidvat Sannyasi. Whatever may be the caste, whatever may be the gender, whether he is religion, Hindu or not, doesn't matter. He can belong to any religion. He can belong to any gender, any caste. None of those things matter. That person can become Vidvat Sannyasi because Atma is not Hindu, Atma is not Muslim, Atma is not she or he, Atma is Atma. So beyond gender, beyond everything. So regardless of position, possession, caste, creed, sex, education, none of those things matter. If he has got Atma Jnanam, that person becomes a Vidvat Sannyasi. So now we have got three things now. What are the three things we got? Two lifestyle, and the one which is the goal, which is the destination, the Vidvat Sannyasi. One lifestyle is Ashrama Sannyasi, another is Grihastha Sannyasi, and another the goal is Vidvat Sannyasa. I have to gain that. What gives liberation? It is neither Grihastha Ashrama nor Sannyasa Ashrama, but only Vidvat Sannyasi alone gets moksha. He alone gets liberation. Therefore, if there is Vividisha Sannyasi, that is a physical renouncer, who is not a Vidvat Sannyasi, he is also a samsari only. Even if he is in akar robes, if he doesn't have self-knowledge, he is also a samsari only. A Grihastha Ashrami also is a samsari. He is also a samsari, except that the dresses are different. He is also having ajnanam still. Okay? So a Grihastha also, as long as he has no knowledge of the self, he is also a samsari, but in both of them there is no difference. Only thing is the task may be different. That's all. Okay. So, Vividisha Sannyasi also has to turn to knowledge alone if he wants moksha. He cannot just keep quiet. Similarly, also Grihastha Ashrami. So, Vidvat Sannyasi is the destination of all people. Vidvat Sannyasa is the destination for everyone. Vidvat Sannyasa leads to moksha. So, that is the destination of all people. Whereas, there is a choice between Vividisha Sannyasa and Grihastha Ashrama. Whether I want to become a Sannyasa Ashrami or a Grihastha Ashrami, there is choice in that. But there is no choice in the goal. Everybody has to be liberated. That is the only goal. So what is advising? Krishna is advising Arjuna here. I don't want you to become an Ashrama Sannyasi at all. I don't want you to renounce this battlefield, take to akar robes and become an Ashrama Sannyasi. That's not what I want. So I don't want you to get away from here. You remain in Grihastha Ashrama lifestyle. Be a Kshatriya. Engage in this war. Do the duties of a Grihastha Ashrami. And whenever I talk about sannyasa, do not misunderstand that it is the physical renunciation that I am talking about. I don't want it for you at all. I don't want you to have it. But remaining in Grihastha Ashrama, the sannyasa that you should attempt is what? It is Vidvat Sannyasa or Jnana Karma Sannyasa, which I want you to attempt. That's what Krishna is emphasizing. And having become a Jnana Karma Sannyasi, like Janaka, you know, Janaka was a king. He was a Brahmajnani. Even though he was a king, he was discharging the duties of a Kshatriya king, but still he was a Brahmajnani. So you remain wherever you are. Continue to carry out your responsibilities, etc. But all the time you remember Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihim, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahutam. So you have to remember this all the time and stay in this lifestyle. Wife is Brahman, husband is Brahman, children are Brahman, food is Brahman, home is Brahman. Have that knowledge all the time. Staying in Grihastha Ashrama, you have this knowledge all the time. So live with that awareness. Once you live with that awareness, then you will be liberated here and now itself. You don't have to wait for some time for the liberation to come. If you know this knowledge right now, if you can practice that, you can get liberated now itself. So all conflicts are because of the confusion between this ashrama sannyasa and vidvat sannyasa. The akarrop sannyasa and vidvat sannyasa or vividisha sannyasa is a lifestyle. It is only ashrama sannyasa is a lifestyle. It is optional. It is not compulsory. Vidvat sannyasa is the destination that is compulsory. There is no option in that. If you want moksha, you have to have that. There is no choice. And vidvat sannyasa is possible for anyone. Anyone means anyone. Not Hindu, not any other religion, anybody can have it. So between the ashrama sannyasa, or secluded lifestyle, and grahastha ashrama, active lifestyle, which is better for majority of people? That's a question. For majority of people, which is better? And this is what is clarified by Krishna in this sloka. Sannyasa karma yogascha. Sannyasa, here sannyasa refers to the ashrama sannyasa, or vividisha sannyasa, which means just a secluded lifestyle or a physical renunciation. And karma yogascha. Karma yogascha refers to an active lifestyle. Karma yoga. Ubav nishreyasa kara. Both can lead to liberation. How? Through knowledge. Through self-knowledge only. So nishreyasa means moksha or liberation. Tayostu, between those two lifestyles, karma yoga visishyate, an active lifestyle alone, is better than karma sannyasa, a secluded lifestyle. So Krishna gives a verdict between these two lifestyles of an ashrama sannyasi and a grahastha ashrami, which is the better lifestyle. He says, for you, karma yoga visishyate, staying in active lifestyle, that is better of the two for you. So that is what Krishna tells Arjuna. Now we have to see more about this particular topic itself in the following slokas. Nyeya sanitya sannyasi.
Nyeya sanitya sannyasi. Nyeya sanitya sannyasi.
Yonadveshtina kankshati.
Yonadveshtina kankshati. Yonadveshtina kankshati.
Nyeya sanitya sannyasi. Yonadveshtina kankshati.
Nyeya sanitya sannyasi.
Nirdvando hi mahabaho.
Nirdvando hi mahabaho. Nirdvando hi mahabaho.
Sukham bandhat pramuchyate.
Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate.
Nirdvando hi mahabaho. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate.
Nirdvando hi mahabaho. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Nirdvando hi mahabaho. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate.
So if you want to say this is superior to the other, then we should know the advantages and disadvantages of both. Then only we can say relatively this is better than the other. So why should Krishna dissuade Arjuna from a secluded lifestyle or an ashrama sannyasa lifestyle? That you should understand. Actually, superficially looking, an inactive life seems to be better because we face a lot of problems in society in day-to-day life. All problems are there. So you have a secluded life, no problems. Very nice, right? In grahastha ashrama, of course, what? Umpteen responsibilities. So many responsibilities are there, tension every day. So, when you really see, then what? Normally people say, in Tamil there is a word, kuramal sannyasam kod. Without telling anybody, take sannyasa and leave. Because you are in this family life. It's always a problem. So, gutter always, get out. Don't tell anybody and leave. That's what it says always, right? So, why does Krishna then dissuade people from taking that sannyasa, physical sannyasa? Actually, in the third chapter, what he said, karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasasparanem indriyartan vimudatma mityacharasta uchyate. That's what he said earlier. So, when a person takes to inactive life, the mind has got lot of free time. The idle mind, lot of free time is there. It's an idle mind. So, even in grahastha ashrama, when we have nothing to do, what do? We worry. We have nothing to do, so what we should worry? That's what we do most of the time. So the problem is, if the mind is not mature enough, a free time can be a dangerous time. If the mind is not mature, free time can be a dangerous time. Actually, I think Russell or some philosopher, I guess, he has told that the sign of maturity is what? Is shown in how you spend your free time. That is the sign of maturity. Active time, you go to work, you do this and that, somebody assents you, no problem. But when you are free, when the time is at your disposal, what are you doing at that time? That is the sense of, that sign, that's the sign of maturity. So for a mature mind, a secluded life seems to be okay. Otherwise, jayato vishayan kumsaha, sangasteshu bajayate, sangha sanjayate kamaha, kamadroha vijayate. All those things we have seen earlier. So this is the danger of a secluded life. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. So it's a devil's workshop. You can keep on creating things workshop. So that is why Krishna is dissuading and persuading him to remain in grahasthashrama. Okay. In grahasthashrama, this problem is less because you have less free time. He has a lot of issues actually. At the same time, grahasthashrama also has got obstacles and problems. Lot of obstacles are there, lot of problems. And the main problem is what? It is the problem of ragadvesha. In grahasthashrama, the main problem is ragadvesha. Because there are more number of people and possessions involved. I am always in the midst of lot of people, lot of possessions. With each one I will develop each some towards some raga attachment, towards some other dvesha. I may not like somebody. All those things I can develop. So, which problem is very less for a sannyasi? Physical sannyasi, those problems are not there because his possessions are very less. If at all he has hatred, what he can hate his kamandalu maybe. Right, that's all he can hate. Or he may hate his dress, maybe there is some dirt here. He has nothing else to hate. Whereas in grahasthashrama, you have so many, I like this son better than that son, I don't like this daughter-in-law. All this we can have. Because in the midst of so many relationships, there is scope for lot of hatred and likes and dislikes. And Krishna says, Arjuna, I know this fact. If you take the ragadvesha problems, so if you take the ragadvesha problem out of grahasthashrama, so in grahasthashrama you have a lot of ragadvesha problems. If you take that out, then grahasthashrama life becomes an advantageous life over the other ashrama. Secluded lifestyle without the disadvantage of the free time problem, idle mind problem. So if you take ragadvesha out of the equation of a grahasthashrami, this is a better lifestyle. Because there is secluded life where you got idle mind. So you can work your mind to your disadvantage. Here it is not there. So both problems are taken care, then grahasthashrama is far more ideal. So that's what Krishna says here. Saha. Saha means that grahasthashrami, the person with active lifestyle, saha, he can be considered jnayaha. He should be known as what? Nitya sannyasi, as an ashrama sannyasi himself. Here sannyasa means ashrama sannyasa. So a grahasthashrami can be known as an ashrama sannyasi itself when, if he takes out R&D, yaha nadveshti. Yaha nadveshti, the one who does not hate whatever difficulties and situations come in life, he does not hate anybody. That is that person. Now, Kankshati, who does not get attached also, he does not hate anyone, he does not get overly attached to anyone, he does not have desire for things. Whatever is necessary for life, he gets. But he doesn't go after them with a passion or a desire. He doesn't do all that thing, however comfortable they can be. So such a person, he handles things, but he avoids R&D. He can have lot of things with him, but he avoids R&D means ragadvesha. He avoids all of them. Whereas an ashrama sannyasi does not handle things, and so he does not have ragadvesha. He has not too many things to handle. So he does not have ragadvesha also. So if you can handle ragadvesha properly, in spite of being in grahastha ashrama, then you enjoy a peaceful life, of a secluded life, for all practical purposes. So you live in grahasthashrama, but you are secluded from all these relationships, all these physical attachments and hatreds, and all dislikes, likes, dislikes, then you are as good as an ashrama sannyasi. That's what he says. So whatever planning is to be done, that's all fine. Because to run the family, I have to plan a lot of things. I have to put my college son to college. I have to plan. I have to get my daughter married. I have to plan. All those things you do. But do not worry about any of them. They don't help you at all. Without worrying, will my children take care of me when I get old? Don't worry about it today. You do your duty because you are the father of the child. Take care of the child and make sure the child goes through in his life. That's all you can do. You cannot worry about what the child will do to me when I retire. So a lot of people, you know, they grow up children as an investment. When they grow old, they will take care of me. No, never do all that thing at all. So that grihastha ashrami, he can be considered as an ashrama sannyasi himself. Because Mahabaho Arjuna, nirdvandaha, that person is nirdvandaha, having gone beyond the paths of opposites. Dvandva is pair of opposite. Life is like hard pole, so paths of opposite, pleasure and sorrow. So which is more for a grihastha ashrami? So for a grihastha ashrami householder only, all these problems, dvandva problems always come. Whether to do this or not to do this, whether to like this or not to like it. Always this problem he has, he is this grihastha sannyasi, this person, this vidva sannyasi, he doesn't have this dvandva problem at all. Paths of opposites do not confront him. His own health, he can have good health, he can have ill health. All these things can be there. Summer and winter, you cannot, they are all facts. Can you challenge them? You cannot. You cannot challenge them. They are facts, you accept them. But the additional ones, which are there for a grihastha ashrama, they are not there for him at all, because he is na dveshti, na kamshati. He doesn't have this all the shapara. One child may learn very well, may go to school and may get first marks. Other child may be so-so. So what? Try to educate that child. If it doesn't come, what you can do? Try as much as you can. Every child cannot be first mark, right? So one child can be first mark, another child may be not first mark. Don't worry. You can make that child ask. You do your duty. But that's not something to be worried about. You can be concerned and show that child your concern. But that is something which about which you cannot put your life into a worry situation. So nirdvandvaha. Nirdvandvaha means the pairs of opposite, he doesn't have them. So like mana, apamana. Lot of people, this is a problem. This is many times we think this, you know, somebody, this mana, apamana is a great problem for everybody. Oh, that guy hurt me. He spoke ill of me in front of others. He didn't address me properly. He doesn't recognize me. Oh, he put the big meeting, he didn't acknowledge me. These are all problems. Because we think somebody has to acknowledge us. Who is somebody to acknowledge me? Right? Nobody needs to acknowledge. You do your duty. Doing social service as a duty, as an yajna, as your kartavyam, do that. If somebody acknowledges, fine, doesn't acknowledge, so what? He doesn't acknowledge me, says, do I not exist? I do. In spite of his acknowledging or not acknowledging, I exist. So I don't have to worry about whether somebody praises me or not praises me. That is not at all a problem. Because as far as I am concerned, this is my duty. I am doing it as an yajna, as an offering to the Lord. This is problem not in, actually, in household also. You know, if you, these days the joint families are not there anymore as much. Those days joint families are problem. So they will, all the so many daughter-in-laws are there. This guy has so many children, that guy has so many children. Oh, this child, that woman has to take care. They all have the problem, and always mother-in-law likes only that daughter-in-law more. All these problems will be there. And the same thing with in the workplace also. Boss likes that man more than this man. There it reflects also. Perhaps he gets more raise. In organizations, there's the problem. Well, that person gets more prominence. These are all problems. Because we consider them as problems. Because we think somebody has to give us importance. We don't think that our importance is regardless of somebody. Our importance is by virtue of our work. What you work, what you deliver, that is your own karma, that is your own yajna, that is your sacrifice. If you want to wait for somebody to acknowledge you, it will never happen. Because he has his agenda. Everybody has their agenda. He is not going to acknowledge you as much. So if you want to wait for them, you can never get satisfied at all. So nirdvandvaha. So this person doesn't care for all those things. And how to get samatvam then? Because he has to have the equanimity of approach. How to get samatvam? It is very, very easy to tell. To get samatvam is easy to tell, but very difficult. Krishna does not mention it here because he has already mentioned this earlier in the second chapter. Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. Siddha siddhyo samobhutvam samatvam yoga uchyate. He already told you there is a special attitude you need. This is all attitude problems. This is not external problems. These are all problems with you. Your attitude has to change. I have asked you to have that special attitude. And what is that? Karmani evam adhikaraha te. You have right only to do karma. Ma paleshu. You cannot have any right on the expectation, on the results of your action. You keep doing your good action. Don't worry about the result of that action. It is not in your control. Even though you may do with good intention, how the other person understands you, you have no control on that. Normally they say, you know, when you drive on the road, it is not that you alone have to be alert, the other guy also has to be alert. Otherwise you will get into a problem. So when you talk to somebody, how he understands you, it is not in your control. You may want to tell things with the best of intentions. The other guy may not understand it that way at all. That is why sometimes we say good samskaras are needed. If somebody tells you something, or if I am saying something to you with good intention, if you don't understand me properly, that means I don't have good samskaras to communicate to you properly. Because that is also needed. In our shastras, for everything they have a reason. Because my samskara is good, then whatever I say, even if I say something wrong, you will take it right. Because that is your samskara and my samskara. This is how our shastras talk about all these things. So karmani evam adhikaraha te ma paraishu. So I should know that I can do things, but in a family, situations are not totally under my control alone. In a family, it is under the control of samashti prarabdha, of the prarabdha of everybody, not just only one person. Samashti prarabdha. Whereas for a sannyasi, it is his own prarabdha, because he is not in a family. He is in an ashrama. So if there is anything at all, whom he has to blame? Himself. So it is only individual prarabdha. So if a grahastha remembers that karmani eva adhikaraha te, your adhikara, your right is only to do karma, then that person can become nirdvandvaha. He can be free from this problem of opposites. He won't confront them anymore. So traigunya vishaya vedaha nistraigunya bhavarjuna nirdvandho nitya sattvastaha niryoga kshema atmavan. That's what Krishna. He is atmavan. He is the person, he is yuktaha. He is vashi. Vashi means what? The person who has his senses under his control. He is yuktaha, a person who is endowed with this thing. That's he is atmavan. So all these things we have seen earlier. So karma yoga gives the method of maintaining this balance, this samatvam. Samatvam yoga vachyate, that's what we told earlier. And such a person who Arjuna, sukham bandhat pramuchyate. He gets relieved from bandha. Bandha means from bondage. So that person is relieved from bondage. How? Sukham. Sukham here is a very nice use. Sukham is an adverb here. Sukham is an adverb. Happily, comfortably, without any difficulty, that person is relieved from bondage. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Remaining in grahasthashrama itself, if only he can take care of this ragadvesha problem, if this person can do it, then he can live very peacefully. We don't say ragadvesha is absent. We have to understand clearly. We don't say ragadvesha is absent. They are there. They will be there. But he should know how to handle them. But the scope for them is less. In a grihastha ashrama, for this person who has that knowledge, that scope of ragadvesha is much less. For ashrama sannyasi, it is almost not there. Because he doesn't have any relationship, nothing else at all. So he may have ragadvesha with the, as I told you, he may have ragadvesha with his commandment. He may not have the shape of that commandment. He might have got a better shape. So this is all he can have, but not anything else compared to grihasthashrama. So Arjuna, I would like you to be there wherever you are in grihasthashrama. Don't try to get out of here and try to get into the author robes. There is no need for it. Sankhya yoga prithak balah.
Sankhya yoga prithak balah. Sankhya yoga prithak balah.
Pravadanti na pandita.
Pravadanti na pandita. Pravadanti na pandita.
Sankhya yoga prithak balah. Pravadanti cha na pandita.
Sankhya yoga prithak balah. Pravadanti na pandita.
उभयोर्विन्दते फलम् एकमप्यास्ति तत् सम्यक् उभयोर्विन्दते फलम् So he talks about the same thing here also. Both the types of lifestyles have got advantages and disadvantages. both the ashrama sannyasa and grihastha ashrama, they both have advantages and disadvantages. You should know how to take care of the disadvantages. That is what he tells Arjuna. So Krishna says, the intelligent people, the wise people will see both the lifestyles as similar. They won't see this as different at all. Both they will see it as the intelligent people. Only the unintelligent people, the unwise people, they will say that these two things are different. That is the ashrama lifestyle and the grihastha lifestyle. They will only see they are different, but the wise man will not see it different at all. So he says, balaha pravadanti, balaha, this childish people. Balaha means here the childish people, those who are childish, who are unwise. When you grow old, if they say you are childish, doesn't mean what? You are not wise. It's not a compliment. Oh, that person is childish means, oh, like he is so innocent like a child. Doesn't mean that. Childish means foolish. So, balaha pravadanti, non-thinking, immature people, unwise people, childish people, what do they say? Sankhya yoga, sankhya, sankhya here means the another name for vividisha sannyasa. Sankhya here is that ashrama sannyasa and or nivritti marga. That's what here sankhya means. And yoga, sankhya and yoga. Sankhya yoga means. Sankhya yoga means here grihastha ashrama, active life, pravritti marga. So sankhya refers to nivritti marga and yoga refers to pravritti marga. So sankhya yoga means nivritti marga and pravritti marga are ashrama sannyasa and grihastha ashrama to be prithak. Prithak means different. So only childish people, they will call these two ashramas as different. The intelligent people. Na panditaha. Panditaha means wise people do not. They do not recognize these two lifestyles as different at all. Only unwise people think of these two lifestyles as different. Both are equally okay for them, for the wise people. And we have the tradition of teaching in both the lifestyles. That's what we have the tradition. Like for example, Marichi. Marichi is a rishi, Bhrigu is a rishi, Janaka, king. All these people. So many sages, they were there who were all in grihastha ashrama parampara. They were not sannyasis at all. They were all in grihastha ashrama, pursuing an active lifestyle, and still they got atmajnana. So all these people, even though they were all in grihastha ashrama, they all got atmajnanam. Actually, in Taittiriya Upanishad, the father is teaching the son. Bhrigurvaiva runihi varunam pitaram upasasara. So Bhrigu and Varuna. So in always in the Upanishads and everywhere, the father teaching the son, they are all in grihastha ashrama. But they were all great rishis also. They were all evolved people, wise people. And there's also other tradition also there. For example, Shanaka, all the Shanaka, Adishankara, all these people, they are all rishis. They are renounced. They went to a secluded lifestyle and they became yanis. So that also is possible. That also was there in our tradition. So both are equally valid and they are all according to our shastras. Both the ashramas were there according to shastras only. So panditaha, wise people, do not differentiate between these two ashramas. And so, ekam api astitaha. Ekam api astitaha by following any one of them. How? Samyak. That is the problem here. You can follow any one of them, but how should you follow? Samyak. Very well. Follow them very well. It has to be done properly. Properly, very well. Because in both of them, a person can spoil oneself. In both the ashramas, a person can spoil oneself. Even though grihastha ashrama has got lot of plus points to improve, a person can be completely lost in family life. Because he is in the midst of all issues, so he can be very easily lost in family life. Worry about the children, grandchildren or great-grandchildren, all those things can come for them when they are in family life. So there are people who waste a full life full of constantly only worrying. These are people who are in grihastha ashrama, they are worried all the time. Then grihastha ashrama becomes a waste for them. Because they never spend their time wisely in grihastha ashrama. So it becomes waste. It has to be made use of getting chitta shuddhi. Because when you are in grihastha ashrama, you should approach it as a karma yoga. Not as a karmi, I have told many times. So as a karma yoga. Karma yoga gives what? Chitta shuddhi, purity of mind. So as you live your family life, you should strive to get purity of mind. If that is not there, the very purpose of having that ashrama itself is defeated. We have more problems, we develop an attitude how to deal with those problems. We don't develop an attitude to keep on worrying about the problem. It doesn't solve any problem. So we should know how to deal with the problems. We should develop an attitude of approaching the problem analytically and finding a solution than worrying about it. And whatever action we do it as what? As a duty, as an yajna, as an offering to the Lord. Not expecting the result, not expecting how it is going to turn out. None of those expectations at all. And whatever result comes, take it as Ishwara Prasada. So, the Ishwara Arpana Buddhi, Ishwara Prasada Buddhi, that should be there. As a Grahasthashrami, if we can cultivate that attitude, that is the proper attitude. If we can have that attitude, then from a Karmi, he becomes a Karma Yogi. So he can be in Grahastha Ashrama completely, does not matter, but he is living like a Karma Yogi. So for that person, this problem does not arise. And he then starts studying Vedanta. Up to some point, you have to take care of your family. At 25 and 25, 26, you don't say, oh, I want to study Vedanta, I cannot take care of my wife. No relation, nothing to know, na bandur, na mitram. You don't say all that at that age. Because you are an active lifestyle, you have to have those relationships. There is no choice. You have to run your, no, if you are already evolved, so keeping, maintaining the harmony of those relationships and also maintaining this balance, that's up to you. But if not, don't try to run away. Don't try to hurt their feelings also. You cannot tell your wife, no, 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 all these, you know, wife, husband, everything is all mithya. They are all temporary. You marry the wife tomorrow, yesterday, and you don't tell her this. It doesn't work. Because there you fail the duty of a husband. You have to show love to her. You have to show comfort to her. You should make her feel assured in life. Because she doesn't know, you may be a great Vedanti, she doesn't know that. So you have to make her feel comfortable. That is your duty also. We cannot say, oh, I am evolved person. Otherwise you should be like Shukha Brahma. Don't get married, get away. If you are going to be married and be in family life, then you have these duties to perform. You have the duty to your parents, you have the duty to your friends, you have the duty to your community, your wife, your children. All those are there. You cannot run away from them. But you have to make everyone feel comfortable. That's your duty. So do it as a sense of duty. Showing love is also your duty. Love is spontaneous. That is true. But you have to show love also. That's the expression of love. It is also important. You may have all the love in your heart. If that other person doesn't know, doesn't have any opportunity to know, it is as good as useless. So you have to express your love also in a fashion that is very comfortable for the other person. Make the other person comfortable. All these are duties. So you do all these things as with a sense of duty. So once you do that, then it becomes an yajna. So normal actions that we do every day, they all can be converted to yajna by just only changing our attitude. Action remains the same. No difference in action at all. They are all same actions. Change your attitude, it becomes an yajna. Keeping the attitude, it becomes an action which is useless many times, or which can give rise to all kinds of controversies to you and to them. So make that action an yajna. So it is called samyak astitaha. Samyak. Krishna, he wants whatever ashrama style you take, follow it as perfectly as possible. Following any one of the paths, whether it is ashrama sannyasa or gastha ashrama, does not matter. You follow that sincerely and properly, which involves two things. What are the two things? Maintaining the dharma of that ashrama. Whatever may be the ashrama you are in, you have to maintain the dharma of that ashrama. Varna ashrama dharma in grahastha ashrama. You have the dharma of the varnas. Whatever duties you belong to, you work on. And the ashrama dharma. And for a sannyasi ashrama, the sannyasi has his own dharma. Sannyasi has also all these codes of conduct for a sannyasi. So you have to maintain that dharma. And in both of them, there is one common dharma. And what is that? The Vedantic pursuit. Both of them have to approach Vedanta. Only then they have the opportunity to get liberated. So whatever may be the dharma you are in, ashrama you are in, does not matter. The choice of lifestyle does not matter at all. You can have any lifestyle. But follow the dharma of that lifestyle perfectly and completely. That is why it's called samyak astitaha. Samyak is an adjective here. So very nicely, one has to follow that. That is the Vedantic pursuit. So both these people must follow their respective dharmas. Their respective ashrama dharmas they should follow. And after getting chitta shuddhi, so by following that they will get chitta shuddhi, both of them must commonly pursue atmajnana. So this lifestyle, following the lifestyle properly and sincerely leads to what? Gives rise to chitta shuddhi. And at that time, because you gain focus also, you should practice to gain focus, then you get chitta ekagrata, then Vedantic pursuit will become easier for you. So when you listen to Aham Brahmasmi, you can relate to that. and then having a mind which is focused and which is also pure, then you practice this thought more and more, then you will be able to clarify all your doubts. Mananam you will do, and Nididhyasanam you will learn to live that lifestyle all the time. Then instead of just only saying Aham Brahmasmi as words, you will practice it as Aham Purnosmi, Aham Triptosmi, I am ever contented, I am full, I don't lack anything at all. I am a full person regardless of somebody praises me or not. I am a full person regardless of whether I have this and that or not. I am a full person ever. So that knowledge will come. So Chitta Shuddhi is important. Chitta Ekagrata is important. Nididhyasana is important. Only when that comes, it becomes part of the person. It gets assimilated into the person and that person becomes a Jnani. Then he becomes a Vidwan. So after getting Chitta Shuddhi, both of them, whether he is an Ashrama Sannyasi or a Grahastha Sannyasi, both of them have to pursue Atmajnana. That is why actually in Puranas also, Puranas show is Rama was born to a king, Chakravarti, right? Rama was born to a king. And he says, I have led a complete life. So he goes to Vasishta, sage Vasishta. And Vasishta is his Kula Guru. And he tries to teach him how to get Atmajnana. Yoga Vasishta is supposed to be a great Grantha. How Vasishta Maharishi teaches Rama. Rama is Sarvajnani, right? He is Avatara. But still he has taken the birth. So he wants to show to the world, after fulfilling all my duties, now I am going to gain Atmajnanam. I go to a guru, I learn from him, and then pursue that path to gain Atmajnanam. So this is Yoga Vasishta Maharishi. It's a great Grantha, which is the teaching of Vasishta to Rama, how to gain self-knowledge. So because he wants to show that every grihastha must follow the Ramayana Dharma in the first portion of life. Because to perform all the duties, you have to perform all of them. So Rama wants to show to everybody how to be in the grihastha ashrama and perform all the duties and later take to Vedantic study, Vedantic pursuit. So Samyak. So Samyak means very well. Should be followed properly the ashrama dharma, whether it is the grahastha ashrama dharma or sannyasa ashrama dharma, you should follow it very well. Ubayoho phalam vindate. One will get the benefit, the common result for both the lifestyle. And what is the benefit? With the sannyasa leading to moksha. Ubayoho phalam. Ubayoho phalam means moksha phalam. That is the phalam, that is the result, that is the benefit of following this ashrama samyak. Very well. Whether you are in this or in that, you know, if you follow that dharma properly, you can gain this jnanam by taking to Vedantic pursuit. So that's what Krishna says. So, vindate. Vindate means both will get. Both of them. Whether it is this ashrama or that. So, a sannyasa ashrama is not an express criterion for somebody to get moksha at all. He can be as well in grahastha ashrama and live a life according to like this, the way it is prescribed by Krishna, without having the problem of raga dvesha. You can be in the midst of activities and still gain jnanam and become a vidvat sannyasi. Tu vedadau swara proto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya pratilinasya yapparasa maheshwarah. Sri Krishna.